Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and on today's episode, this runner was a competitive swimmer who hated running until a step count bet with her family turned into a full-on daily walking streak. That streak became a jog, and then a training plan, and eventually a goal to run the Walt Disney World Marathon. She followed the Jeff Galloway's run-walk method, made it through the intimidating 20-miler, and crossed the finish line of her first marathon in Mickey ears, crying tears of pride and relief. Since then, she's taken on the Dopey Challenge and made a habit of showing up to races in fun, themed outfits that make the miles a little bit more magical. This one's about building belief, finding joy in the process, and starting before you feel ready. Let's get into it. Please welcome Caitlin. Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this weekend. Super excited to talk to you and hear about your first marathon experience. And you've been running for like 9 years, so we've got a lot more to talk about after that first experience. But
yes,
excited to have you on. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Amazing. Well, cool. Well, we always like to start from the beginning. So where did running start? Where did movement start? How did we end up in this crazy world?
Yeah, so you know, I feel like it's such a typical thing, like people that you talk to and, you know, they're like, oh, I hated running growing up. And like, I hate to be like that stereotypical person, but it's the same story. I grew up, I was a swimmer for 19 years of my life. And running was like the exact opposite of what I wanted to do. I just remember, like, I have a very formative experience with running. And it was with Drylands, and I think I was like 10 or 11, and I fell while running. Maybe like I could still see the pool, and I scraped up my knee really bad, and my coach said, get up, you're still running. And that just kind of set the stage for just me not really enjoying running for the first a lot of years of my life. But then, you know, as we all have found our love for running, I'm really happy to be here. I'm happy to be a runner, to have found the love, to like have taken that power back and yeah. To now say that I am a runner.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. I think that a lot of people, like you said, there's been a couple stories on the show, but I think a lot of people who played a team sport or were, was an athlete in a past life can relate to that, like running is a punishment, you know, kind of thing.
Yes.
When do you feel like running shifted from being a punishment for you from back in that day to like you were saying, like, I'm a runner, this is my identity now?
So I think it must have been like 2015 at this point. My family, you know, we're a very competitive group of people, but in like a fun way. And we were sitting around the table. We have a big Christmas Eve party, and we were sitting around the table, and we said, let's do some sort of, you know, New Year's Eve or New Year's resolution competition. And yeah, we did it around steps. And I said, you know, great, I'm going to win. And I went out. I think it was January 2nd. I went and I bought my first treadmill, and my mom said, oh, you're just like, you're not going to use it. It's just going to collect dust. And I said, great. Like, I'm going to prove you wrong too. So I wanted to win the step competition. I wanted to prove my mom wrong that I was going to use my treadmill.
Yeah.
And I ended up winning. I started off just walking. I started walking like a half an hour every day. Then I slowly started adding incline. And then, you know, the rest of my family, once the end of January hit, they kind of fell off. And I just kept going. And walking turned to jogging. Jogging turned to running. And here we are.
And here we are. Love it. Yeah. Cool. I actually love that that's the way that you started, because I did, not to like go too in-depth on something, a total side pivot. I have a problem with doing that. But I did a little series one time of like how to get into running. Like a beginner, this is how you go from couch to whatever you're trying to do, mm-hmm. kind of series. And what I tried to focus on the most was the walking aspect, because it really is just like building a habit and time on your feet and like those kinds of things that really build the habit in the beginning. Did you feel yep. like that starting from the walk really helped like form that relationship with running, or helped you get into the habit of being a runner, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people are afraid of running, and I think they're afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. And starting off just walking, and I hate the word just, and I don't mean to say just walking, but like if you start off walking, you can start to see improvements and you start to feel better pretty quickly. Like I remember I was out with one of my friends and we were walking from our car to the restaurant, and it was up a hill. And this was maybe like a month and a half, 2 months after I started walking. And I wasn't out of breath walking up that hill. And I was like, wow, I feel better, you know. And I thought back and I was like, if I would have been huffing and puffing getting up this hill, I would have been drenched in sweat. And I remember right. He looked at me and he's like, wow, you're totally fine. Like, and he was out of breath. And like, we grew up, we swam together. So, you know, he kind of was along on this whole journey with me. And I think it's a great place to start. And it's kind of the gateway drug, right? Because then, you know, sure. you feel the walk and you're like, oh, I could do a little bit more. And then you add the jog and, oh, I could do a little bit more. And so it just gets you, your body kind of primed to go longer and to do more.
Totally. Yeah. It's just like this mental barrier that you have to break down of like, I can move. And then it opens up these other doors. So yeah, that's great.
Definitely.
Well, cool. Well, where did we progress from there? So you were starting to build a habit. You were starting to run a little bit. Yep. Like what was on your mind from there?
So from there, Disney Princess Half Marathon. And we're just going to get into Disney right away because you're going
to
see,
we have to,
this is a pattern with my life. So I think I was reading the Runner's World magazine, and there was an ad in there, and they were advertising the Princess Half Marathon. And it was, you know, the quintessential shot of them running through the castle with the tutu and the tiara. And I made it my goal. I said, I want to do that race. And I just remember, I 2017 was my first, I know we're talking about my first marathon, but we're building
totally
up.
Fine.
So
yeah, yeah.
2017 would have been my first half marathon. So that whole year leading up to it, I trained for that half marathon. And I just remember crossing that finish line and thinking, like, I was so proud of myself. I ran the whole time. Like, the whole, you know, Disney races, it's all about, you know, the characters, the experience, like, soaking it all in. Like, I was doing the drive-by selfies because I was like, I trained for this. I'm running the whole thing. I was so proud of myself. And I thought, you know what? Full send, I'm doing the marathon.
Yeah.
And that is how I started running marathons.
I love it. Okay. So that first half marathon really proved to you that, you know, like I can take on hard things, it sounds like, and can tackle a bigger challenge like this.
Yes, absolutely. It was, I think I just proved to myself that I could run, that I, you know, I that was my moment of taking running back for me and proving to myself, you know, I can stick to a training plan. I, you know, I can commit to this. I can run and I can finish 13.1 miles. You know, yes, it's through Disney World and yes, the characters are there. And yes, I didn't wear a tutu that time, but yes, I did wear a costume, but like I could still do it. And, you know, I just remember being there and thinking all of the people around me are also doing the same thing. And you don't know what anybody else is going through. And like, there were people of all shapes and sizes and walks of life. And I'm like, we're all here doing the same thing for the same purpose. And it was so beautiful. And I haven't looked back.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. I think the first time there's a lot of people that come on the show and have like an experience. It's yours happened while you were running, but other people, you know, come on and talk to you. I watched the Chicago Marathon for the first time and I saw someone mm-hmm. that looked like me, or like I saw a bunch of different types of people that were running that race. And I was like, kind of had this moment of, why not me? So I think it's yeah. great when you get to like see yourself in other runners and see the different types of people that are out there, and all that is great. A very important question before we move on. What was your yeah. costume? I'm going to probably ask that a couple of times. Yeah.
Okay. So the first one was, so Ariel is my favorite Disney princess. She always yes. has been. Swimming, Ariel, mermaid, you know, it all fits. But yeah. I just wore, it was like a athletic skirt that was like her tail. And then I had a t-shirt made just with my initials on it that was like her font, her monogram. And then yeah. I had a bow. It's still hanging up. It's just a bow with like the little dingle hopper hanging off of it.
Oh, cute. That's cute.
And that was, so it was very minimal in comparison to some of the things that you see coming out of Disney races. But I like to think I've stepped up my game a little bit over the yeah. last, 9 years that I've been running Disney. So that was the first yeah. one.
Love it. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll see the progression of the outfits yeah. throughout this episode. But how did we progress from there? So you ran that first half marathon. You were thinking, I'm going to run a full. So were yes. you like looking at different options for full marathons, looking at training? Like, what was next steps for you from there?
The next step was, I want to run the Disney Marathon. So the Walt Disney World Marathon happens in January. So the Princess Half Marathon is in February. So I ran February 2017, and I thought, okay, January of 2018, that gives me almost a full year to work up to a full marathon. And this was at the time that it wasn't as crazy to get into a Disney race. Mm. This was the time that you could sign up just, you know, a couple months before. You didn't have to, you know, there are people now that like take a day off of work just to like commit to signing up for Disney races, just because, you know, running has become so popular and running Disney has become so popular, which I love. Like, I'm so happy that this community and this sport has blown up how it has. But I just thought, like, you know what? I want to do Disney. And it just so happened that 2018 was the 25th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Marathon. So I was like, you know what? Let's do it. So the Walt Disney World, like I said, it's in January. Run Disney as a whole puts out training plans for all of their different races, all of their different distances. And that is what I used for my training for the Princess Half Marathon. So I thought, it worked for the Princess Half Marathon, let's keep it rolling. I'm going to do the same thing for the Walt Disney World Marathon. And there are a couple things I love about them. Number one, they are free. So you don't have to pay, you know, yeah. hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And they're all accessible on their website. The second thing that I really like about them is they're developed by Jeff Galloway, who,
yeah,
I don't know, I'm sure you're familiar, but for anyone who's not familiar with Jeff Galloway, he is a former Olympian and he developed the run, walk, run method. So you're going to see a pattern of like my progression here. So I started with walking. Now I'm a runner, but he developed this method, and all of, you know, it's run, walk, run. So he encourages you to take walk breaks during your, you know, during your workouts and during your races. And the purpose of the run, walk, run method is for, you know, for you to be able to take those breaks so you can go further and you can finish your race feeling better. And you're building up like your strength, your cardiovascular health, all of that jazz. Go to his website. He's done the research. Like, he's the professional on it. I really like his plans and I've used them a lot. And they're manageable. I mean, some of these plans that you see, I mean, they have you running almost every day of the week. And like, I'm just like, I need something that's going to fit into my life and into my schedule. And his training plans is you run like two or three days a week for 30 or 45 minutes, and then you do your long run on Saturday or Sunday. And like, you can add strength training if you'd like, but it's just, they're free, they're accessible, they're manageable. And so that's what I did.
Cool. I love that. Yeah. It's funny. I think that this is like the third episode in a row that'll come out where we're talking about the Jeff Galloway method. So we're getting a whole lot of press for them, but I love it. What were some things that you were liking about the Jeff Galloway method? Like about how it made your body feel, how you, like you were saying, how it fit into your life in terms of training, like how did all that work?
So when you transition into marathon training, you are going to start running distances that you've never run before. Like you are, especially when you hit your long runs, right? Like you're going to hit distance PRs on your long runs before you obviously run the full marathon. So what I really liked is I was doing these long runs and I'm like, wow, I don't feel like crap when I'm done. Like I can continue to be a real person for the rest of the day. And it's not going to kill my weekend. Like I can hang out with my friends, you know, I don't have to just flop on the couch and rot for the rest of the day. I mean, I can if I wanted to, because I just ran 18 miles. Like no one's going to question
me. You have the choice. Yeah.
Right. But I really like that. And like the other thing too is like I was still seeing progress. I think a lot of times there's like this misconception that if you're adding in the walk breaks, you're not a quote unquote real runner. You're taking a break. Like you're not running the whole time. You didn't run the race, which is a lie. You are doing, like, whether you run a mile or you walk a mile, you still do the same distance. It just didn't, you know, it just doesn't matter how you got there. You still covered the same amount of distance. So I was still seeing my times progress. I was still getting stronger. I was getting better. I was getting faster, adding in these walk breaks. It's just nice. Cause then you can like take a second and like take in the world around you. You're not just so focused on getting to the end of your run. You can actually enjoy the process and enjoy your run.
No, that's what I've heard. I haven't tried it myself, but I'm getting convinced to give this a go. But I've heard a lot with the Jeff Galloway method too about heart rate, about how you're able to kind of keep your heart rate down, maybe it does kind of like a wave throughout where it goes up, and then you're able to bring it back down. So you never hit that kind of above a threshold heart rate, I guess is what they say. So that can help lead to less of hitting the wall and less fatigue and like longer rolling miles and things like that. So yeah, I've heard a ton of benefits about the run walk method for sure. Cool. Well, we were training. We started training. You said you gave yourself a full year. So I guess at what point did you start to, did you do like an 18-week training plan, a 20-week training plan? When did marathon training actually kick off in that year for you?
Oh, this is a lot of years ago. So I want to say the Galloway training program for the marathon is a 29-week training program, which is a lot longer than what like a normal marathon build is. But
yeah.
I think that's a reason that a lot of people use it, especially for their first marathon, is they want that extra buffer, especially, you know, no marathon build is going to go perfect. And personally, like, I don't trust people if they say, oh, I had the perfect build. Like, you had at least like one or two or, you know, a couple runs that like didn't go to plan, you know. So I really liked that extra buffer. So what, 29 weeks? That's like half a year. I pretty much started like, right, like June. So I would have had February to June, quote unquote, off, but I was still running, you know, not like a structured plan or anything. Like I think I just kept up with like the two or three times a week and then like a little bit longer of a run on the weekends. But then that structured training plan started in June of 2017.
Got it. Okay, cool. Yeah. I actually like a little bit of a longer runway too, for training especially for your first marathon. Cause like you said, there's just so much that you don't know and mistakes you're going to make for sure. So just having some time to pivot and all that is always good. I know it was a while ago, but if you remember, what were some of the high points of training? What were some of the low points of training? Like what were some of those runs that stand out to you from that first marathon block?
I think the first time, the specifically the one that stood out is the first time I ran over 13 miles. So I think that was like my 15 miler weekend. And just because that was the first time I, like, that was like my first time running over a half marathon. And I think that was the first time that I was like, yeah, like I can do this. Like, yeah, I mean, I know obviously you still have 11 miles to go when you hit the 15 mile mark, but I didn't hit a point where I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to finish it. During that training block, I mean, yeah, there were times that were hard. I mean, I live in Pennsylvania. So, you know, you're training through the summer, you're training through the heat, you're training through the humidity. There were definitely times where I was like, I'm just going to hit the snooze button and I'm not going to run, or, you know, I'm going to push it to later, you know, at night, or I'm going to run on the treadmill, and which is all fine. I think some of the challenges were trying to figure out the fueling. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's still something that I struggle with to this day. Like, I still don't think I have it figured out. I still don't think I fuel enough while I'm running. It's just something I know about myself. And it's, I just remember like taking my first gel. I don't even remember which one it was.
Yeah.
But I just like distinctly, I was out in the middle of nowhere. You know, there's no water fountains around. There's no trash can. So like, I'm just carrying everything along with me. I just remembered like taking that first bite and just thinking, ugh, why do people do that? Like, yeah, why am I doing this? So that was a struggle. I'll never forget.
Yeah. Oh, the first time. Yeah, especially if it's like a goo or one of those stickier ones. The first time you have that texture, you're like, oh, why? Yeah. People like this? What in the world?
I'm like, this is like baby food, but I kind of feel like baby food might be better.
Some people do use baby food, actually. Yeah.
I know. I've heard since then. I've heard that. I'm like, see, they were on to it. They knew. Were.
They did. Yeah, for sure. No, fuel is so tricky. And I'm the same way. I think that I've maybe kind of gotten down to something that I can manage now. But definitely for my first marathon, did not know what I was doing. I was not fueling enough. Everything was still felt kind of off. What do you feel like, I guess, for that first marathon specifically, mm-hmm. like, how did fueling improve, if it improved, or did you try to make adjustments, or like, what were you trying to you know, dial it in the best you could?
Yeah, I think I was just trying to, I made adjustments with the electrolytes that I was putting in my water. Mm. And I was trying to figure out if it was better for me to run, to eat a little bit before I ran, or if it was better to just run, do my runs fasted. Yeah. And I found out for me, like, I run better fasted. And I know that might not be like for everybody, but like, I just have a sensitive stomach, and it just worked for, like, that's just what works for me. But I also, like, I tested out like the different goos, and I think this is just advice for anybody training for whatever your first race is. If it's a 5K, 10K, half marathon, whatever it is, like, test whatever you're going to do. I know this is advice you've heard 20 times already, but like, test it before race day, because I can just imagine like rolling up to my first marathon with my goos and my gels and just like having that experience. Eating that on the, like, that first day and like feeling my stomach cramp immediately would have just sent me off the rails.
Definitely.
Like, instantly.
Yeah, that's what those training runs are for. And you gave, like you said, you gave yourself that really long runway. So you have so much time to be testing all these things out. I 100% agree. You should definitely be using your training runs as your testers. Because wouldn't you rather have a upset stomach in the middle of the woods with no one around than in the middle of a race where there's thousands of people around?
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. So it can be tricky, but sounds like you were at least like, you were at least testing things out and trying things and trying to figure it out. And you found something that worked, you know, for your first marathon. So that's always a positive.
Yeah.
how did we progress from there? So we were getting closer to race day.
Yeah.
Where did you peak out? Like, what was your longest run that you ended up doing that block, if you remember?
So the one thing about the Galloway training plans is they will have you run the full distance. And I understand why, because they want you, you know, he wants you to get comfortable with the distance. Like, you want to show yourself, like, yes, you can do it. You know, time on, I know we talked about it earlier, but like time on your feet, get used to the distance. I think for my first marathon, admittedly, I have never, for any of the marathons that I've run since, I've never run the full distance before the marathon. So for that first one, I topped out at 20. Because I figured if I can make it to 20, adrenaline and delusion can carry me for the last 10K.
Love it. Yep. That's exactly how it works.
Right. So yeah, I tapped out at 20. And I think that was the right move for me. And that's, since then, 20 has been my tap out point. And we might get into it in a little bit, but when I was training for Dopey my first time, again, we'll get there. I did run up to 23 on a treadmill.
Oh my
gosh. And I will,
You're brave.
I don't think I won't do it again. So I think now, like, I've decided, like, 20 is my comfort spot. 20, I'll tap out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Awesome. And after you did your 20-mile run for the first time, how were you feeling? Like, it's usually a big confidence boost, or sometimes it can, like, be a little unnerving. Like, how did it feel?
First of all, I think I finished, and I just remember I was like, I just ran 20 miles. That's like me to the mall and back, like, four times.
Yeah.
And I remember just being so incredibly proud of myself and so just in awe that I was able to do that, right? Like, again, you think back to, like, the little Caitlin who was, you know, told, oh, like, keep running, because even though your knee is bleeding, like, you're going to keep running. Who was, you know, always, like, the last person on, like, the mile in gym class, the last, I also played softball, and, like, I could hit the ball. I was really good at that. But then, like, I would, like, move my arms really fast, like, and I wouldn't go anywhere. So it's like, I just thought back to, like, all of the younger versions of me and, like, where I was standing there, like, and I, like, looked at my watch and I was like, heck yeah, 20 miles. I did that. And, like, even regardless of how the marathon was going to go, like, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take away the fact that, like, you did that. You trained, like, I trained, I ran I did the distance. And now it was just a matter of, you know, 6 more miles. And it's like, at that point, it's like, what's 6 miles? I mean, I've done that how many times in my training program? So I was feeling really confident, really proud.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. It's like, what's the cheesy thing everyone always says? Like, the race is the celebration or whatever.
The victory lap.
But, the victory lap. Yeah. Yep. It's always something super cheesy, but I think that there is a lot of value behind that, because it really is. If you focus so much on the finish line, you can lose track of all of the amazing, like, progress you make internally about yourself and like the things you learn about yourself through training and milestones where you, like, you do something that you could have never imagined that you would ever do. And if you fixate so much on the finish line, you can miss out on that whole journey. And your first marathon, training for your first marathon, I always say I'm so jealous of people training for their first marathon, because it's so special like that to, like, have those moments.
Absolutely.
I love that. Great. Yeah. So we did our 20 miler, and then I imagine you went into some sort of taper. I know I sound like a broken record. I feel like I say this every episode, but you either love taper or you hate taper. So what do you feel like you fell into?
I just get so anxious, and like, I was like, I'm just ready to go. You know, I want to I want to run more. Like, I know I can do it. Like, I want to go. Like, I don't want to sit and wait. Like, I understand the value of the taper. Sure. I get it. So, like, the logical part of my brain loves the taper, right? But, like, the athlete and, like, the competitive part of my brain, I guess, is, like, I just want to run. Like, let's cut to the chase, get me to the start line, and just send me off. So I think building up during the taper, I was nervous because it's just, you know, you're checking the dates off the calendar, off the training plan, and it's getting closer and closer. And then you have that moment where you're second guessing yourself and you see, you know, the decreased mileage, the decreased time. And you're like, is that like, should I add a little bit more? And then like, I just remember like, I had to like reel myself in and like, you have to do that gut check. And you're like, you had like, this plan was developed for a reason. Like, you didn't develop this plan, Caitlin, because you're not a running coach. Like, yeah. You have to trust the people that put these together. Like, I mean, Jeff Galloway's an Olympian. Like, he knows what he's doing. So I just remember, like, putting the trust in the plan. And then I had the nerves. That year, we had a really bad ice storm hit Pennsylvania leading into the weekend of me flying down to Florida to run this race. So then I think I just like forgot about the taper altogether. And I was just like so focused. I'm like, if my flight is canceled and I can't run this marathon after all of the training and all the hours and the miles, I'm just going to be so heartbroken. So I think that helped in a way because it took my mind off the run itself and it redirected my energy into worrying about my flight. But it all worked out.
Yeah, it was a nice, well, I won't say nice distraction, but it was a distraction. But yeah, I can imagine that's a little stressful leading up to the race that you just worked, you know, an entire year for. That's not a fun feeling. But you got there, obviously. You ended up running the race, so we made it through the weather. Once you were there, since you were traveling in, I know logistics can sometimes be a little tricky. Any, like, did you have trouble holding back from walking around and exploring things or anything at the expo? Or what was the whole logistical experience like?
Always. I mean, it's Disney, right?
I know. That's why I asked. It's got to be hard.
You get to Disney and you're like, but like Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom and like, I want to go, and then you get to the expo, and I'm trying to think back to 2018 if, like, how it was set up, because now, the way it is, like, you have to go to three different buildings, and, you know, each building has a different piece of your kit, like, one building has the bib, and then you have the shirts, and then you have the merch, and it's like, you're racking up steps. I think, you know, thinking back, I probably did too much because I was in Disney and I'm like, I want to be in Disney. I look at it and I don't want to sacrifice the Disney part of my trip for the marathon part of my trip. Right. Yeah. I like to think that I've gotten a little bit better at balancing that. Don't ask my family that question because they will say that I've only gotten worse. Yeah, I think at a certain point I was like, okay, I've got to stop. Like, I've got to sit. I've got to go back to the room. I've got to put my feet up. Like, I've got to get my stuff all laid out. But I think I still like enjoyed the parks and had all the Disney time that you could possibly soak up. But then the expo is really cool. Yeah. I mean, you're there, but I think like the expo is really cool too, because Jeff Galloway comes, you know, he's out and he meets people and he will sign.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, he, so like, cool. He'll post his, like, meeting times and everything. And I remember I went up and I met him at the Princess Expo. And I just remember, I think I might have cried. And I just said, like, thank you so much. Like, you're the, like, you and your training plan, like, got me here, and He's like, I just gave you the plan. Like, you had to do the hard work. He's like, this is all you. And I'm like, I mean, we can agree to disagree. Like, you also helped in this. But like, he's always so gracious to, you know, spend time and talk to people. Like, that's always a highlight for me. And I will always try to go when I know that he's going to be there to stop in and say thanks, because he's kind of his plan is kind of what started it all and got me to where I am. So
I love that. Yeah. His plans have made it. I mean, his plans are for everybody, but I do think that they have made it more accessible for like people who like myself included, like they never thought of ourselves as runners. So
yeah.
I love that he's actually out there though, meeting people. I did not realize that he did that. That's so cool.
And I mean, a little like tip, if you do run Disney, he typically will stand like 200 yards ish before the finish line. Mm. And he stands with a big like Mickey hand, and he'll high five people as you come into the finish line. So I've stopped there and said, you know, hey, high five, and just kept running. So you can see him at the finish line too.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we're buzzing. We're at the expo. Yeah. We're doing all the exciting things for Run yes. Disney. And then we get to the marathon day. How were you feeling? Nerves, excitement? What were we feeling when we got to the start line?
Oh my gosh. So nervous.
Yeah.
Because it's a completely different vibe. The Princess Half Marathon was really my first race that I ever did. And like first organized race. And so when I, you know, you get to the starting corral and everybody's just so happy and they're, you know, in their tutus, their tiaras, their dresses, you know, everybody's just like in a good mood. And then I line up for the marathon and everybody is just like really serious.
Mm.
And I think, I mean, as serious, I guess, as you can be at a Disney race, but like, it's just like this level of kind of calm before the storm. And I just remember standing there thinking, like, am I really about to do this? Like, am I 26.2 miles? And then I start thinking of it in terms of like hours that it's going to take. And I'm like, I'm going to be running for a full work day. Like, I'm about to clock in for a full shift. It's just, you know, nerves, anxious, anxiety, like, but also so excited to be able to do it, to be able, you know. And there was never a moment that I was like, I'm not going to finish. Standing in that corral, yeah, I was nervous. I think if I wasn't nervous, I think I would have been scared. I think the nerves were good. I was so excited. And I was ready to go, because it's like 3 a.m., right? Or 4 a.m., whatever, however early it is. I'm like, I'm exhausted, but I'm so tired. And like, I don't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah. We're here. We're like, we gotta just do it now. There's nothing else we can do. It's like that. Yeah. You just kind of have to let everything go and kind of give into the whole experience. So, but good. I'm glad you were feeling excited about it, even though there were some nerves, like you were ready to rock. Let's talk about the marathon. So, I always like to say we could break down in however you want to break it down, but maybe let's focus on the first half. How are we feeling for that charted territory? You'd ran a half marathon before. So how did that first half feel?
The first half felt great. So the first half, it's pretty similar to like what I had run just in February. So like, you're running a little bit in Epcot, then you're running to Magic Kingdom, and then you get the cat, like you run through the castle. And that's like the moment that everybody is so excited for. So you get two parks in the first half of the race. So I was feeling great. I was feeling confident. You know, it wasn't anything that I hadn't done before. So I wasn't nervous. I saw my mom and my husband, well, I guess he was my fiance at the time, but they met me on Main Street in Magic Kingdom. So I got to see them. They gave me a little sip of Diet Coke, which is like, if anybody ever sees me on the sidelines of a race, like, I will ask you to bring me a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero or something like that. So they met me in Magic Kingdom, so I got to see them. That was a nice little energy boost. But no, like the first half went great. Like
amazing.
Better than I expected.
Amazing. Love that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, then I'll let you decide how to break it down from there. Like any points where you hit the wall or anything like that, go ahead and just kind of walk us through.
Mile 17. That year, they ran through the ESPN Wide World of Sports. Mm-hmm. And I want to say mile 17 might have been still like Animal Kingdom. So let's call it like mile 19. Miles 19 to like 22 were just awful. Like just absolutely. I remember at that point, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, what am I trying to prove? Like, who am I? I have nothing to prove to anybody. Like, I'm not doing this for like, and like, obviously you're there for like the medal, you know, you're running for, you know, you want to do it, you have a goal, you know, but at that point, I think all of that just like went out the window, because running around the ESPN Wide World of Sports, you are running around a soccer field, a baseball field, and it was awful. I was just, I'll never forget it. I talk about it all the time, and I will never forget. I was leaving the ESPN Wide World of Sports, like the long entryway, and the balloon ladies were coming into the ESPN Wide World of Sports. So I had about a 3-mile buffer on the balloon ladies. So for anybody who might not be familiar with the lovely balloon ladies, they are the last people that start a Run Disney race. Mm. And they hold a 16-minute mile. So 16-minute mile is the pace for Disney races. Yeah, cut off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you fall behind the balloon ladies, you potentially could get swept depending on where you're at in the course. And I just, and let me tell you, they are the nicest ladies on the face of the planet. Like, I think people think that they're scary, but like, they are there to motivate you. Like, they don't want you to get swept. They want you to, you know, they want everybody to finish.
Yeah.
But I just remember at that point thinking, okay, I have 3 miles to go and they're 3 miles behind me. Like, I can walk it. And I think at that point is when my mind, like my frame of mind shifted a little bit. I was like, okay, it can't get any worse than what I just did.
Yeah.
And then I had a great, like the last 3 miles of the race were great, because I knew, I was like, you know, I have a 5K left. Again, I've run how many 5Ks in my training, in my life, just in this race alone, like how many 5Ks have I run?
Right.
And then I remember, you know, you come around Epcot, the World Showcase, and at that point, the parks are open. So you just, like, people, families, their kids, you have the little kids, like, are all just, like, so excited. They're cheering you on. And then I'm like, you know, we're having an impact on these people. Yes, I mean, maybe some of them are a little angry that, you know, a marathon is running through Disney while they're there and they have to wait to be told where, like, when they can cross the road. But maybe there's a little girl who hates running, just like I hated running. And maybe she sees me and, like we talked about before, like, maybe she decides, like, hey, I want to do this one day. Like, you never know the impact that you're going to have on someone. And I just remember rounding the corner to the finish line, and I still cry, you know, when I cross the finish line, and it's like, cause it's such like a powerful moment. It's such an accomplishment, whether you've run your first marathon, your, you know, 100th marathon, you still put in the miles, you still put in the time. And it's a moment I'll never forget.
Oh, I love it. So yeah. Amazing. And I love that you, I've obviously this is my first time meeting you, but I it seems like it would speak a lot to like your character and your personality that you're turning this finish line, seeing people around you and you're thinking like, I'm making an impact on them. So it's like, I think that's really cool that you were able to kind of step outside of your own experience. Cause I know myself as a runner, runners, we speak to, like we can go internal and think about ourselves so often when we're running a race, but I think it's very sweet and cool that you were able to like look around and be like, I hope that I'm making an impact on somebody right now. That's very cool.
The finish line. I mean, and you can think about it for any race, right? The finish line is the goal, right? But look at how many people line the streets. You know, if you're running Chicago, New York, any of the world majors, right? They're packed with people, and you never know. You know, someone could be having a bad day. And you could be wearing a funny costume, or you could be wearing something, or like you could just be wearing a smile, right? And yeah. You could turn that person's day around, or you just never know.
I love it. Very cool. Well, I know you touched on it a little bit, but finish line. What was it like? You said that you cried, which good, good that you got to soak in the feeling. But what did that mean to you, I guess? What did the crossing the finish line of that first marathon mean for you?
It was incredible. I think it meant that I could do anything that I set my mind to. It meant that I could stick to a training plan, that I could run, that I, you know, we can do hard things. And it meant that I was a runner, you know, that I belonged in this sport. Regardless of anything that, you know, anyone had ever told me previously. I remember just crossing the finish line and like, you know, obviously like you stop your watch and you're like, I'm like looking at it and I'm like, it says it. Like it is proof.
It's here.
26.2 miles. Like I was like, no one can ever take that away from me. And I'm like, if I would stop running tomorrow, like I'm still a marathoner and no one like put it on the resume, put it on my tombstone. Like I did it. And then the other cool thing, like with all the when you finish the Disney marathon, all of the finishers get a pair of Mickey ears. And I didn't know that. So you're going through the finisher shoot and you get your medal and then you get your, you know, your Powerade and your banana and, you know, the typical fare. And first of all, the medal was really cool because it spins and it's an anniversary medal. So it's like a little bit, I don't want to say nicer, but it's like a little bit cooler than like your typical year medal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, this cast member just hands me this pair of ears. And I'm like, what? I get this. Like, you usually charge like $30 for these things and you're just going to hand them out for free? Heck yeah. So I just I remember my hat was so sweaty and I'm like, I'm putting these things on like immediately. So I was so proud of myself.
Awesome.
I still think back and I'm like, I can't believe I did it and I can't believe I continue to do it. Like that's the that's the crazy part, right?
I love it. That's so great. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for walking through that first story. That was amazing. It sounds like all in all, it was a pretty good experience for you for your first marathon. I think that there's there's always going to be something that happens in a race, right? Like there's always going to be a wall that we hit or something that throws us off. But whenever we can cross the finish line with a smile and feel good about the experience, I think that's a win for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing. Well, cool. Well, I want to touch on, and before we get here, I think what will make the most sense for this episode is to dive a little bit deeper into some of your like experiences post this first marathon in our bonus episode. So if you want to stick around for that, we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. But I do want to touch on like what's changed for you since that first marathon, just in general, because you've got a lot of marathons under your belt since then. You've ran 5 total, so 4 after that. What are some of the highlights of what you were able to do after that first marathon that you felt like really changed running or impacted you or, you know, that kind of thing?
So after that first marathon, so that was in 2018, after that, I got more into like the Orange Theory, more like strength training, cross training side of things. And I just remember, you know, pandemic hit, COVID hit, and I had never taken a spin class before in my life. And I panic bought my Peloton, like, I think like March 23rd. So pretty much like the world shut down and I was like, I need a Peloton.
yeah.
And so I bought a bike and I got really into like the Peloton space. And I think that, you know, I started biking a lot. And it's funny, you know, I think a lot of people say that they found running during the pandemic. I think I actually fell off of running during the pandemic because I started biking so much. And I just think it was a way, you know, I was at home, my bike was at home. I don't think I fell off of running for any reason other than my bike was just there. And it was new and I liked it. And it was something new to try. So then after, you know, the pandemic ended, I was like, you know, Peloton has a lot of great classes other than the cycling classes. Obviously, they have treadmill classes. And I have a treadmill. Why don't I try some of the tread classes? I'll just, you know, I'll put them on my iPad and I'll set my up on my treadmill and try it. And that really kind of got me back into running. From there, I saw this ad once again. You know, I had continued to run Disney, and we're at Disney, and they have this, you know, poster for the Dopey Challenge. And I had heard about it. You know, obviously I knew what it was, and I had said, oh, I'm never going to run Dopey. Like, a marathon is enough for me. And then I started thinking, I'm like, eh, you know what? I kind of do want to run Dopey.
Yeah.
So I started training for the Dopey Challenge, which is, it's a stage race. So it's a 5K on Thursday, a 10K on Friday, a half marathon on Saturday, and then a full marathon on Sunday. So it's 48.6 miles, 4 days, back to back. Well, back to back to back to back, to be more specific. and so my first, so it just kind of, you know, morphed into that. I'm wearing one of my Dopey shirts now. I don't even know what year this is from. So this is 2024. So I started training I ran Dopey in 2023 and I actually did not finish it. Mile 22 of the marathon. So what is that? 42 miles, 44 miles. No, 44 miles.
Yeah.
And I couldn't turn my head from side to side anymore. And like, I was just having a lot of neck pain, shoulder pain. Mm. And there was a med tent right there. And I was like, it's not worth me trying to push 4 more miles, potentially like long-term injury. So I went to the med tent and they were like, you gotta go. So I went just to the full blown med tent that they have set up at Disney, and I mean I was fine, but I think that was, you know, the right call. I think my thing is always like run safe, run smart. And as disappointed as I was that I didn't finish Dopey that year, that was what was safe and that was what was smart for me at that point. So
yeah.
That also just added fuel to the fire because I'm like, well, now I have to come back and redeem myself, right?
Right.
So then I trained for it in 2024. I finished Dopey in 2024, and I actually met one of my best friends in the corral of the 10K for Dopey that year. And she and I are running the New York City Marathon together this
Amazing.
Year. Yeah. And we're running Dopey again in January. So Dopey number 3 is on deck. So it's just a lot of running since my first marathon, but a lot of lessons learned, a lot of, obviously a lot of miles run, but I wouldn't change a thing.
I love it. Great. And in lessons learned is exactly where I was going to go after this is, I always love to ask for like a piece of advice at the end of this specifically for somebody who's thinking about running their first marathon or is training for their first marathon. If you could think back to yourself when you were in those shoes, like what's some advice that you might offer somebody like that?
One of my mottos, and I don't know, I mean, it's a pretty popular one, but it's something I tell myself on every run, and it's from my favorite Peloton instructor, Bex Gentry. It's forward is a pace. And you can be having the best run, you can be having a bad run. Just keep moving forward. It doesn't matter if you are, at an 18-minute mile. I don't care if you're at an 8-minute mile. You are still putting in the work, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of anybody who, puts a goal out there and is training for something. And I just, keep moving forward. And even when you think you can't, you can. You will continue to surprise yourself in ways that, you didn't even think possible. Just keep moving forward.
I love that. That's such good advice.
Just keep swimming, as they say.
There we go. Perfect. 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 And before we move on, I promised I would ask another outfit question. So you have to reveal outfit for the marathon. And what was the Dopey Challenge outfit?
Okay. So my first marathon outfit was I made a t-shirt that says it was a fast pass. So back in the old days of Disney, when you got the printed fast pass tickets, made one. I think I was in it wasn't Canva at the time, but like a Canva adjacent. I made a mock-up fast pass ticket, and it was a fast pass to the finish line.
Cute. And I love that.
And I tried to figure out what my quote-unquote return time would be, and I think I set it between 12:35 and 1:35, because I think I figured that should be about the time that I was crossing. And I think I crossed at 12:45. So I hit it right in the middle. Yeah. So I was a fast pass to the finish line. I was really proud of that.
That's a really smart one. I like that one a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. And then for the Dopey Challenge. Okay. So again, you have to remember it's 4 days. So those are 4 costumes.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I didn't think about that. That's a whole wardrobe thing that you have to take.
It is.
Yeah.
Our costumes got a little messed up this year because my best friend that I was supposed to run with, she tore her ACL. Surgery, so she wasn't able to run. So we changed our costumes at the last minute, so they were all supposed to be coordinated, we were all set to go, and then we changed them at the last minute. Mm-hmm. So I remember I wore a pink Crowned Athletics princess thing off for the 5K. I will say this year was freezing for the Dopey Challenge. It was so cold. So I also had to modify my costumes. This isn't a good example of my costume, but I will say my favorite costume that we did.
Perfect.
And that was, so my friend was able to run the Springtime Surprise challenge this year. She got cleared from her doctor from her ACL surgery. And we were from Inside Out. We wore shirts that said today is a core memory day. And
cute.
I found on Amazon these little pool floating orbs, the memory orbs from the movie.
Yeah.
And we ran and we were holding them. And whenever there would be a photographer on the course, we would change them to a different color and then toss them up in the air.
Oh, and that's so smart.
Wow, that was a relatively simple costume. It was my favorite, one of my favorite costumes, because it was her first race back, and it was just nice to run with my friends again. So
love that. Cool. Yeah. Well, if you remember and you want to send me some of the photos, I'll put them in the clip so people can see them too.
Absolutely. I will send them to you.
Cool. Well, thank you again. Yeah. I think we're going to keep the cameras going and talk a little bit more about your dopey challenge and dive in a little bit deeper there. But for our regular listeners, where can they follow along with you on socials if they want to follow along with your running journey?
Yeah. So they can follow me on TikTok or Instagram. I'm just at Caitlin Runs Disney on both. And then for any of the Peloton people out there, if you want to ever work out with me on Peloton, I'm at Kiki, so K-I-K-I, Runs Disney. I guess Peloton has a character limit, and I can't do Caitlin there. So,
Kiki it is. Yeah. Amazing. I'll link it in the show notes as well. If you want to hop over to the bonus with us, that's myfirstmarathon.co/exclusive. So if you're joining us there, we'll see you in a second.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.